You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra Siam, Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, and the Skakuya, Talit, Tim, who Musqueam must stay. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show here on the NCR Radio Networks. I'm Kelly Rayburn. Michael Rubin will be here in a moment. This is Community Living.
が付いてるぜ。俺が付いてるぜ。辛いことばかりでも君は挫けちゃダメだよ。思い出せよ。友達を君のすぐそばにいつも俺がいる。
Yes, of course, that's the Japanese version of the theme song, You've Got a Friend in Me, all played by Randy Newman, of course, the theme song for Toy Story. I'm Kelly. Michael will be in just a few moments. Unless he's not going to do the full hour, then he just has to let me know. So, anyways, I got some, of course, today is today, the TransLink referendum is about to expire, and hopefully that everybody has all of their important papers and all the things that they want to know about on their public transit referendum. So here now, it's been about 2 months ago since they did this referendum thing. This is the, Don't play with me, computer. I'm going to have to refresh. I'm going to have to do that. And, okay, so this. All right. Stay. I might have to minimize this. It's not working as properly. All right, here we go. This is the vote no on the TransLink tax with Gordon Bateman, the spokesman for Canadian Taxpayers Federation and leader of the no vote, pulls off the gloves and speaks with the spotlight about how much extra people are going to pay with the proposed, quote, Metro Vancouver congestion improvement tax on how much is too much. Have a listen.
I'm Jordan Bateman. I'm the leader of the No TransLink Tax campaign, and I'm asking for your vote against the TransLink tax in the Lower Mainland plebiscite that's happening this spring. TransLink wastes too much of your money to be trusted with any more of it. This is a $1.4 billion a year organization that's really good at only one thing, raising our taxes. Whether it was the gas tax, which when TransLink started was 4 cents a liter and is now 22 cents a liter, whether it's the property tax, which was $50 for the average house and is now $250 for the average house, or the parking tax, which started at 7% and is now 21%, TransLink is good at only one thing, raising your taxes. And now they want another one, a sales tax, which no other regional government, no other city in the country has, a 0.5% sales tax that will cost you and your family up to $258 every single year. And this for an organization that wastes more money than you can possibly imagine. Whether it's the fact they pay two CEOs $70,000 every month, or they waste money on things like a Main Street poodle on a pole, things that don't move a single person a single inch, or the Compass cards, a system that's now years late and as much as $100 million over budget, TransLink does not deserve your trust, and they do not deserve to be rewarded with more of your money. The mayors could have funded their entire transportation plan simply by earmarking 0.5% of their annual growth rate towards it. They would still get more than 4% every single year for their local city halls, but they'd be putting the money towards what they call important regional priority of all. So that's TransLink's record. There were other ways to do it. I'm asking you to please vote no. And if you support me in this no vote, please go to my press reader channel and click support. Thank you.
So that's an advertisement for the no vote on the no campaign on TransLink tax. Here's the publicized debate on it that happened in Langley January 22nd. January 20th.
I didn't realize Bill was going to go full on wrestling heel in his opening speech there, but you don't think TransLink's on the budget or on the ballot, Bill? I assure you, I'm even further off the ballot. I love Langley. I'm not ashamed anymore. I love our way of life here. I love the community we've built. I've lived here since I was 12. I fell in love here, met my wife here, met my wife first and fell in love. I got married here. We're raising our three kids here. One of them plays hockey. They go to the public schools here. I love everything about Langley. And I know that you do too. You're all business owners here in Langley. You're invested in this community. You're invested in Langley. You're not just putting your mouth there. You're actually putting your money here. And that needs to be commended. And you know, Bill's right. It was an incredible honor to serve as a township councillor for two terms. Many of my former colleagues here today, incredible, it was an incredible honor, and Bill is right. On your behalf, I wrestled TransLink for more transit here in Langley. I am not anti-transit, as Mr. Thielman and the other TransLink hired guns, $4 million worth, would like to suggest. I am, however, steadfastly opposed to TransLink and the way it mismanages our money. So Bill, here's what happened between 2007 and today. When I called for a light rail in Langley, a lot of things changed. That was 2007. Number one, a global economic meltdown happened in 2008. Changed everything for your businesses. Changed everything in your pension packets, didn't it? Your investments plummeted. It changed nothing for government. BC provincial debt, 2007. $33 billion and trending downward. Today, $66 billion trending upward. We're going to get 70 and then 75. That doesn't include site seating. Third thing, more TransLink taxes. Today we pay 17 cents a liter to TransLink in gas tax. We pay a hydro levy every single month. That's a remnant from the old interurban that used to run out here that TransLink steadfastly refuses to even consider as a possibility. Property taxes increase 3% every single year. A 21% parking tax, and of course our Golden Ears Bridge toll, all brought to you by the fine people at TransLink. And you know what else happened since 2007? Fiscal prudence at TransLink fell apart. Put simply, I oppose this tax grab because TransLink wastes too much of your money to give them another nickel. Their list of waste is legendary. Six boards of directors, all of whom meet in secret. Nearly 450 staffers making six figures. Executives cashing in bonuses and claiming car allowances while raising taxes and fares. Executives breaking salary records when their chairman of the board stands up in front of the public and says there's a pay freeze on, and every single executive gets more money. If that's a pay freeze, boss, sign me up. A Main Street poodle on a pole. Folks, I can't make this one up. Main and 16th Street, they put in 30 grand towards a 7-foot-tall poodle statue on a stick. Installing 13 TV screens at a cost of $40,000 each. Bonuses of 25% for working on Sunday. Not overtime. You work on a Sunday for TransLink, you get 25% more pay. $60,000 a month leasing an empty building. The SkyTrain Union head actually called that one outright waste. Tens of millions of dollars over budget, years late on the Compass Card fare dates. There's more, but you get the point. As my shocking ally, Derek Corrigan, Mayor of Burnaby, says, TransLink is the beast that eats money. And guys like Bill Thielman want to spread $7.5 billion more in a big buffet in front of them. This is a new tax, not a PST increase. Let's be clear. It's modeled on the PST, But there will be a separate collection, separate bureaucracy, separate exemptions, new rules, and new paperwork for you. You here left work today thinking, gosh, I'd love to do some more tax collection paperwork today. Already we're hearing from small business owners in Aldergrove, Willowbrook, Langley City, and Fort Langley, costs of $5,000 to $10,000 to upgrade their point-of-sale terminals, to add a third tax onto the receipts. You know, it's funny. Translink claims the cost of this tax to the average household will be about $125 per home. But note, they've never given you a per-business cost. But just upgrading a point-of-sale terminal for, say, $7,500 is significant. $7,500 for over 10 years is $750 per year. Plus, whatever's become more expensive for you to buy because of this tax. Plus, your customers have less money in their pockets. Those are big costs to small businesses who are already reeling from EI, CPP, MSP, going to the HST, and then going back from the HST. Property taxes and all the other ways that everyone seems to be reaching into your folks' pocket. No wonder so many of you oppose this tax. No wonder Eric Woodward polls the Fort Langley Business Improvement Area and finds more than 90% of their merchants opposed to this tax. It's a bad deal for Langley. Now, none of this had to happen. You know, the TransLink mayors didn't need to go this sales tax route. One of the challenges that guys like Tim like to throw at people like me is, oh, you're a doctor, no, you have no other plan. Well, we actually offered a plan. Remember the chart that showed we were going to double in size in the next 40 years. Well, all of those new people arrive, and guess what they do? They pay taxes. They pay the same 17 cents a liter gas tax you pay, and they'll pay the same 21% parking tax that you pay, and they'll pay the same property tax increasing 3% a year by TransLink that you pay. Growth should pay for growth. And the local governments, while your business was struggling during the worldwide global recession, local government saw their revenues grow by 5.8% every single year for 10 years. So we had commissioned an accountant who looked at all these numbers. And he says, great, let's say that it only grows 4.8%. Let's be prudent and say, somehow, you know, all these people don't materialize, or, you know, let's bring growth down and give a little bit of a little bit. All the mayors would have to do to fund this entire plan to replace their sales tax is earmark 0.5% of that growth to transportation. Now, folks, if transportation is really the biggest regional priority, if transportation is really the thing that these mayors say you need to pay another tax for, they can't earmark 0.5% of a 4.8% growth rate. They'll still have 4.3% more revenue every single year to do everything else they want to do. Gregor can still build his bike lanes. We'll still have all of these things. The mayor of Surrey can still hire more police. There'll still be money there. But we're taking money from future growth instead of a new sales tax. So if this is really about that million more people coming to the region, there is a better plan. NoTransLinkTax.ca/betterplan. You can look at it yourself. But for me, the first job is fixing TransLink. To say this tax has no effect on TransLink is ridiculous. TransLink's budget will go from $1.4 billion a year to $2.2 billion a year. Pretty nice. TransLink will own the infrastructure. They'll manage the infrastructure. They'll build the infrastructure. TransLink will mismanage the infrastructure. TransLink will schedule the infrastructure. TransLink will do it all. How much time do I have? 2 minutes? Okay. Those of us in Langley, we know the deal. Councillor Richter and I, Councillor Ward, we were on council when the big Portman Bridge project was going through, and we were promised a 216th Street interchange. Remember? 216th Street interchange. This was going to be great. This was going to actually help the traffic on 200th. It was going to actually open up the University District. This was going to be big for Willoughby. Guess what got cut when the Portman Bridge started to go up? 216th Street interchange. Otherwise, Bill wouldn't have taken it here today by accident. We know the deal. The light rail station in Langley City, TransLink's costs for these projects are years old. They're actually out right now trying to get new costs of plus or minus 30%, which, for those of you who are building projects in Langley, bet you wish you could go to the bank with a plus minus 30% ballpark. Ridiculous. We know what it'll be cut. These costs will come in, they'll be way higher. The Arbutus subway will go ahead. 31 cents of every dollar, by the way, of this tax will go to the Arbutus subway. Those will go up. One last thing. Nothing will be built. The Patella Toll Bridge will be built either way. It's a toll bridge. It's a 76-year-old span. It's going to fall into the water. they will replace that. It's funded by tolls. You're actually paying two taxes for the Patel Toll Bridge. It's only in the plan so guys like Bill Thielman can try to trick drivers into voting for it. And the second point is, Lynn Hebner, Plan B. She has a Plan B in Surrey for the Surrey High Rail Station. She has a Plan B. The only person that doesn't have a Plan B is Bill's friend, Greg Robertson. So, we can't tax our way out of mismanagement. That's what TransLink's trying to do here. So let's vote no on the TransLink tax.
Jordan Bateman, in the presentation of the No campaign on the No TransLink side, of course, the deadline is tomorrow. I think it's at 8 p.m. I'm not pretty sure. Michael Rubin's here anyways.
Yeah, I think you're right. It is about 8 p.m. Did you have to have everything in? Or it has to be postmarked or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So now here's the yes side, and the speaker who will be talking about this is Bill Thielman, I can't even pronounce it. Maybe you pronounce it T-I-E-L-E-M-A-N. Thielman?
Yeah, we'll go Thielman.
That's right. All right, so here's the yes side on the debate. And away we go.
Busy schedules and leaving your family behind and come out and discuss and debate and hear about public policy, which we don't hear enough of, I think, in my view. And I want to thank Lynn Whitehouse, the executive director, and Christine Simpson, of course, the executive, for having me. And it's pretty unusual to have, you know, a big city, condo-dwelling, cappuccino-loving, champagne socialist come out here and talk about this and debate Dr. No. So, you know, it's a real pleasure. But, you know, if a stranger arrived here today, didn't know Jordan, didn't know me, didn't know you, and he was told there's two debaters tonight, and here's the description, what would they conclude? One debater helped successfully eliminate the unfair 7% harmonized sales tax imposed by the government in a 2-year grassroots battle supported by citizens. That same debater opposed the 7% unfair carbon tax that was imposed by that same government. That same debater owns a small business for the last 17 years. He likes to shoot guns, even submachine guns where it's legal, and he drives a Ford Mustang with a V8. The other debater did not oppose the HST. His organization actually supported it, then stayed out of the biggest tax battle we've ever seen in this province and maybe in this country. He was an elected city councilor, even voted for tax increases above the rate of inflation 4 times. 5% 3 times, 4% once, over the vociferous objections of it, some made. He was involved in that political party that imposed those 2 taxes I just talked about. And he also was involved in a political party that at one point in 2002 raised the sales tax across BC from 7 to 7.5%. I know that he argued strongly the future of transit in Langley is light rail, which is good. And he worried his young daughters wouldn't see a sustainable transit service in their lifetime if things didn't change. He's now an employee of a shadowy group with undisclosed funding. And he holds no public meetings like this. They don't have members, they don't have policy, they just do whatever they feel like. So the first debater who's supporting the mayor's council on these enormous improvements, of course, and working with over 70 different groups, from labor to business to environment to students, community, others, in the Better Transit and Transportation Coalition is myself. And of course, the other debater who didn't just love higher taxes but actually voted to increase them is our friend Jordan Bateman. But this debate isn't about Jordan and I. That's just why you're here. This debate really is not about the past. It's not even about the present. This debate is about the future. And it's about our children and our grandchildren's future. As we heard from Mike Buddha, we're going to see the Langleys double in size over the next 25 years, 30 years. And we already have now, we know there's 1 million people coming. 1 million to Metro Vancouver. Are we ready to handle it? Are the Langleys ready to handle all those people? Dublin. I don't think we are. And I think that this debate must be about that. It is not, despite everything that Jordan would like, it is not about TransLink. It is about transit and transportation improvements. TransLink is not on the ballot. Transit management's not on the ballot. Transit mismanagement's not on the ballot. But transportation funding is on the ballot. And that's what we're going to vote on from March to May. This is really a unique opportunity, and I want to be very positive about this, because the Mayor's Council plan, and I recognize the mayors from Langley and the township and the city are here who supported this. This is a plan that's going to fix roads. It's going to increase buses by 25%, 400 new buses, including here. It's 200 kilometers of B-line routes, as Mike Buda pointed out. We're talking about 70% of Metro Vancouver residents having access to more frequent service throughout the region. More frequent all-day service, 15-minute service or better, 7 days a week in frequent travel corridors. We're talking about more peak hour service. We're talking about 50% more C-bus service for the folks who are going to North Vancouver and West Vancouver. more services all over the place. 80% more night bus service. If you want to go to the casino and have a drink, there'll be more opportunity to drive safely home or take a transit home as opposed to the drinking driving problems that we still have despite the new rules. 30% more handy dart service for people with disabilities. An important thing that must not be overlooked. We've got upgrades to the Expo, the Millennium, and the Canada Line. 29 new vehicles. Stations being upgraded. More West Coast Express service, 10 additional. We've got 13 new or expanded transit exchanges, 2,700 kilometers of bikeways, and better connections for pedestrians and also walking routes. So that's why this unprecedented coalition, the broadest, the widest, the deepest I've ever seen, has come together with all these different groups. We've got, I'm not going to list them all, but take the rest of the evening, but some of them, we're going to release all that shortly, but some of them have already been mentioned. The BC Chamber of Commerce, for example, Dan Baxter is here from there. The Vancouver Board of Trade, Downtown Surrey Business Improvement Association, Elizabeth Modell is here today. David Suzuki Foundation, the BC Federation of Labor, Unifor, the National Union, and also locals, Unifor Locals 111 and 2200. Sean Francis from the local that represents mechanics and transit, and C-Bus workers is here tonight as well. And all these organizations and dozens more believe that improving our transit system, improving our transportation system is critical to our economy. It's critical to our environment, and it's critical to our quality of life. We know that that there are many people who have issues with TransLink. And as someone who works with the two Unifor locals, I can tell you they do not love TransLink management. They really, Sean's smiling already. They really do not, but they understand how important this referendum is. That's why they're supporting this plan. Not because they don't have any differences with TransLink management or TransLink the way it's operated or governed, but because it's about transit and transportation for the future, for those 1 million people coming here. Governance is up to the provincial government. It's not up to the voters in this ballot. It's not up to the mayors. They can't change it. The provincial government can. And if Jordan wants to join me and go to Victoria, and maybe we could talk to a few cabinet ministers like maybe Rich Bowman, I'm willing to take the ferry with him, go over and do it, because I'm happy to talk about governance changes. But it's not on the ballot. The ballot question is very simple. Do you support an affordable, modest 0.5% sales tax increase to fund the dramatic improvement of transit and transportation? Yes or no? Don't make a mistake. A no vote is not a I want changes to transit vote and I want more transit and I want more transportation. A no vote is a no to more buses. It's a no to the Langley LRT line. It's a no to SkyTrain. It's no to the Telebridge. It's a no to road improvements. It's a no to night bus and sea bus improvements. No means no. You folks are in business. I'm in business. A customer comes in to look at one of your products. You ask them if they'd like to buy it. And they say, no. That's a very clear no sale. That's not, I might buy something from you if you weren't here anymore, if you weren't the manager, if you didn't know this anymore. So a no means no. In my view also, this plebiscite, this referendum, whatever you want to call it, is really a transaction. If you pay, a small fee and you get a service provided, and it's a dedicated service, it's accountable, it's publicly audited, you're going to get those services that you pay for with that tax. There's many other points that I can make, and I want to make sure we leave time for your questions if at all possible. So I'm going to wrap it up. But I want to say this. If Jordan Bateman and the Canadian Taxpayers Federation had their way 30 years ago, we'd have no Expo SkyTrain line. And how would we be doing with that, with our transit and economic system here without that? 15 years ago, if Jordan had his way, we'd have no Millennium SkyTrain line. 10 years ago, no Canada line. 5 years ago, no Evergreen line. We need to plan for the future. We need to be looking at all these routes that we're looking at now that we saw here in Langley, but all across the region, because we all work together. We have a regional economy, we have a regional structure here, and everybody depends on each other. So this vote is really about our future. It's about getting it right now for the 1 million people who are coming, for the doubling in the Langleys, and we really have a clear choice. We can vote yes for a better economy, improve our environment, reduce commute times by an average of 20 to 30 minutes a day, and enjoy a better quality of life. Or you can vote no and watch transit and transportation deteriorate with no new funding and rapidly increasing traffic and population. The choice is ours. It's a democratic choice. I appreciate your time listening to this, and I hope you will inform yourself as much as possible. Thanks for your time tonight.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah 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 blah. Explosion.
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the top floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
Have you voted in the 2015 Metro Vancouver Transportation and Transit plebiscite? Elections BC must receive your completed ballot package before 8 p.m. on Friday, May 29th. Or voters can drop off their completed ballot package before the close of voting at any plebiscite service office in Metro Vancouver. For more information, call Elections BC at 1-800-661-8683 or visit elections.bc.ca/plebiscite. This message is brought to you by Elections BC.
There you go. That's the ad for the yes or no campaign. So pick and choose. You have 8 p.m. tomorrow on Elections BC. Yep. Anyways, do you have any comments on the last speaker?
I just want to know, have one question for everyone, both in the mm-hmm. the yes and the no side. What is the ultimate plan? Okay, so 1 million people are supposed to be moving here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're gonna gather all this money together. Yep. What are we gonna do with it once we have it? Once the mayors have the money, what is the plan? What are they gonna do with it?
Well, you banged it on the $1 million question right there, and it's like, you know, what are you gonna do with that kind of money?
Yeah.
With 0.5% of it. So
yeah. You know, and I thought Jordan Bates had a valid point that either way, mm-hmm. TransLink's gonna wind up with the money.
Mm-hmm.
To either build the roads, build the transit, the transit routes, and all that kind of stuff. Anyway,
so. Exactly.
But, and of course, we all know the Patella Bridge that they've already have it slated.
Oh
to,
yeah,
to become another toll. It's
well, tolls as well are
as
everywhere.
as well as the Massey Tunnel. That's going to become another toll bridge.
Yeah, part of the government where they've already built the Golden Years Bridge. Mm-hmm. In the first place, right?
Yeah.
And the, what was it, the Portman Bridge. I think that's part of, I think that's a different company named Trio
yeah,
Company.
Trio.
So that's part of TransLink there.
Yeah.
CITR 101.9 FM.
Late Night Show is the start of the weekend. We play all types of D&D or jungle for the first half of the show. On the second half of the show, it gives you that irritating noise that you just don't want to hear it. Or it could be some ambient sounds that might drift off and or fall asleep in the moment of life. Or it could be some new age that you just heard on most stations, but even better. Or it could be that this music has no beat or drums in that music. Either way, tune into the Late Night Show, now broadcasting on Saturday mornings at 12:30 a.m. right after the Medicine Show, also hosted by new DJ Rain and Jason Lawrence. If you happen to hear us around the world, you can always check us out at CITR.ca. Welcome back to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. We're talking about transit, and of course, it's referendum that is happening tomorrow. So vote. Vote, vote, vote.
Yeah, please do vote, just either way. You know, get out there and state what your opinion is with that vote. You know?
Yeah, I already vote, but I'm not going to tell you what side I'm on. So,
you know, it's a personal decision, right?
Exactly. That's what it is.
You know, so I guess if you listen to me talk long enough, I guess you can figure out what my vote is. But
yeah, fair enough. But you've been on public transits around the world, am I right?
Yeah, yeah.
I have too.
At least across North America, and I've seen some pretty awesome ones like in the U.S. in New York City. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty awesome transit system. You can get just about anywhere you want using transit, which is pretty cool considering the amount of congestion that they get in New York City. Mm-hmm. When they talk about rush hour and gridlock, when they say gridlock, they means it could take you an hour just to go 20 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that these mayors in this coalition, that they're trying to avoid that sort of situation for here, because we don't have that kind of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the other areas where Vancouver is very comparable to New York, because you can get just about anywhere you need to be,
mm-hmm.
In the Lower Mainland, mm-hmm. with using transit,
right?
One way or the other. You know, with the West Coast Express and some of the extending lines out through Langley, and then they're supposedly adding something to go to Chilliwack, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty extensive that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in comparison to New York, our transit system is cheap.
That is expensive.
The most expensive that I grew up with this system is in Philadelphia, where it's another system you can get pretty by comparison. If you were to compare how far out you could get from Philadelphia using the transit system,
mm-hmm.
you can actually get as far as currently when I left there, you could get as far out as Chilliwack.
Hmm.
Or some of the outlying areas out that way,
In the metropolitan areas, as in New Jersey area, and
this is one of the other things is all those transit systems, like the New Jersey transit system, the New mm-hmm. York City transit system, actually they hook together at points where you can actually take transit from New York City all the way down into Philadelphia.
Mm. Interesting.
It is pretty interesting that way. They have like a series of joint ventures and things like that where you can do transfers and stuff like that.
It looks like you have three transit systems. I wouldn't say I know the third one would be Amtrak, for that matter, and mm-hmm. then the other two would be independent transit. Running the same, almost the same line, for that matter.
Yeah, Amtrak is actually run under a. It's a federal operation.
It is.
Yeah.
It's inner city anyways. It's an inner city train.
Yeah, company. But the whole thing is funded by a federal government mandate.
Mm-hmm.
So and actually that mandate was renewed. It was supposed to expire and disappear forever, but Amtrak managed to save it and keep it going. But like I said, our transit system here isn't really all that expensive. No. When you consider that I can actually take a bus from White Rock, and I can travel all the way into downtown Vancouver. I can actually travel here from White Rock for $5.
Or more.
Yeah.
$5.25 or $5.50, I think it is.
Yeah.
It's $2.75 for one zone.
Well, no, if you buy the day pass.
Oh, the day pass is, $9?
Yeah, it's $9.75.
Yeah.
Almost $10. So it's like if I make one trip out here and go straight back again, it's essentially
it's
$5.
Just the day pass. Yeah. Just the day pass there. Yeah, of course.
But then there's plenty of ways of discounting the fare cost, which is pretty cool. But some of the worst things that I've seen when you get into some of the Phoenix, Arizona's, where the heck else was I? Calgary is kind of
ishish.
It's ishish, yeah. Mm-hmm. I live there.
C train.
Yeah, the C train was good, but it was the bus system outside of the C train is like it became very limiting after a while.
So it doesn't connect through the C train properly?
It doesn't go out far enough.
Oh, really?
If you were to take the same distance that TransLink goes versus you were to apply that onto the Calgary map, there's areas like Airedale and things like that where they didn't the transit system was very limited. It's like you could catch a bus once an hour,
right?
You know, and it's not that far out from Calgary.
Yes.
You know, so in that respect, it's like we're pretty lucky to have the system that we do. And yes, we should actually protect the system that we do have. Now, that doesn't mean that the plebiscite is right or wrong. What it does mean is us using it to as much as possible will help actually protect that system, keep it in place, you know?
Yeah. Well, remember the time when we had the night buses, and it was a big hassle for many people. I know it started around 1970s, around there, when they first started it, with the OWL buses. And once, I think it was during the strike, I think it was in the year 2001, a lot of people complained about their public transit bus services, and TransLink said, okay, we'll give you the night buses only. We'll give you Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night services. And we'll have about five bus routes to go through.
Yeah.
And I was thinking at the time when I was over in Adelaide, Australia, where some of their night buses only operate Saturday night, Sunday morning because of the clubs and bars and stuff like that that has happened. I believe that. TransLink's on TransLink's side, that's not the case because they've already talked to a lot of security people, a lot of overnight workers that do the cleaning and stuff. So they did a lot of stakeholders, is what they call it. And they tend to agree that they will say yes, we'll add some more buses 7 nights a week and add some more buses during that time. I'm hoping to do the same for Adelaide, but.
And with that, I want to give TransLink credit for that sort of thing because there's other cities that I've lived in or visited where even if ridership went up, they still wouldn't increase the number of buses that they would put on, extend them out later because they knew that there was people who wanted they had to work late or something like that, they wouldn't extend it, knowing that the ridership was there. Mm-hmm. At least TransLink does pay attention to ridership, and they increase the bus system according to ridership. Mm-hmm. Of course, they also decrease it according to ridership also, you know, but at least they're paying attention to that sort of thing, which mm-hmm. makes them a good system.
Yeah.
You know?
We got to talk about the Henny Dart service as well, because I know it started in the late 80s or something like that, and mm-hmm. many of the, of course, our original cast people, Dave Sherritt, Laurie Sherritt, Rich McDonald, Paul, all talked about the issues on Henny Dart, and I mean, it's a pretty good system where a lot of people have difficulty accessing through public transit.
Yeah.
And now, if a yes vote does happen tomorrow, one of the plans would say, yes, we'll have more newer Henny Dart services and a new system fleet service throughout the Lower Mainland, for that matter. Right now, I believe Henny Dart is by region right now. Right now, if you're living in, like, for example, if you're in UBC in Vancouver area, you have the local Henny Dart service at that region. If you want to go over to Burnaby, New Westminster, or Surrey around that area, you're going to have to rearrange for another regional areas to do Henny Dart.
I remember, I guess it was about a year and a half ago that we did a piece on the Henny Dart and how they were trying to cut.
We kind of did. I don't remember. I know Dave and Laurie did their pieces as well. So.
Yeah, where they were trying to cut back the funding to Henny Dart and give mm-hmm. it to. They were going to give a voucher system to the taxis or something like that.
The taxi servers.
Yeah. And it's like this, and again, that's what we're talking about, protecting our system, mm-hmm. because the Henny Dart people they have to go through training in order to pick people up.
Mm-hmm. They did.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a school bus where you have to pick the kids up.
Yeah.
For that kind of way.
No, but they get the wheelchair training,
mm-hmm.
and so they know how to actually... pick people up in different types of wheelchairs so that they get them to where they're supposed to be safely.
Right.
The taxi system doesn't offer that sort of training.
No, because all they're there is just to pick up passengers and drop off passengers. Yeah. And whenever they do on late night service, well, that's a whole nother story altogether.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, God forbid you, if you have to take a taxi home, if you're too drunk, they won't pick you up.
No.
You know, so.
That's why they have safe rides there, and they don't do much of a thing there, too, so.
Yeah. I did have a friend who was trying to develop a designated driver service. There are some designated driver services.
Yeah, and of course, in Christmas time they do a thing called the Operation Red Nose.
Yeah,
and other organizing groups there. Yeah. So you're thinking maybe somebody should have an organization in partnered with TransLink to help out the drunken people.
Why not do something like that? It's mm-hmm. like, you know, granted, I don't agree with if you're going to have a drink. This is my personal belief, and I mm-hmm. live by this belief. If I'm going to have a drink, I'm home.
Yes,
I don't have to worry about.
You don't have to worry about. It. Of course, yes.
You know, exactly. it's like if I'm gonna drink, I'm gonna stay. I'm gonna be home.
If you're a real heavy drinker and you like alcohol really, really, really much.
even with that being said, is like I usually just have coffee with dinner or something like that. It's like I don't, you know, people are like, well, they'll have a glass of wine or a beer or something like mm-hmm. that. It's like usually I just reserve that. It's not the consequences of drunk driving, and I don't mean the legal consequences. What if you get in an accident,
right?
Because you're inebriated, and mm-hmm. it's the living with, I hurt someone.
Right.
You know, so.
I don't know if you've seen the movie Leaving Las Vegas. Have you seen the movie of that?
That sounds familiar.
It's Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yeah, I did see that
one. Who is supposed to be a big drunk. So he meets this hooker, and they hook up. And the more of the story goes, I mean, Nicolas Cage tells his story that he is a big alcoholic, and then Elizabeth Shue tells her story that she's a big hooker.
Yeah.
For that matter. So all I can say is, to Nicolas Cage, don't go there. Otherwise, right. you'll really, if you really want to, you will kill yourself for that matter.
Yes.
So,
exactly.
All right. Well, it's close to the top of the hour. I would like to say thank you, Michael, for coming in a little bit late. Thank you.
And I want to say to everybody once again, do actually get out there and vote the way you believe it should happen. Mm-hmm. But you get out there and make sure you get your vote in by the deadline tomorrow at 8 p.m.
Couldn't have said better to myself. So thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Kelly.
This has been the Community Living Show on CITR, our flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM, and our flagship stations on the NCRA radio networks. Join us again next week, same time, same stations, I hope.
Yes.
And we'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.